tonight I'm going to talk to us a little bit about toys, the toys that our children play with. You probably have not ever heard a whole lesson taught about it, and maybe will not again, but toys are such a big part of the lives of our children. Toys are influential whether we realize it or not. I was thinking in the last few days, knowing that I was going to teach on this subject, I got to thinking about some of the toys of my childhood, and oh my, have toys changed. We had a big plastic tub full of Lincoln logs that I grew up with. And that's where I learned how to build a church. I built those churches out of those Lincoln logs. And then when I was little, I don't remember having a trike or a tricycle, but I do remember when I got a vehicle called a big wheel. And I remember the old big wheel. Mine was red and yellow, and boy, was I cool. Mine was hot stuff. My big wheel was really something. Of course, growing up, I worked at this thing of thinking about my toys. I don't remember just having toy after toy after toy. I guess it didn't take too much to entertain me. I had my ball glove that seemed to be a real necessary part of life. My baseball, and had a basketball. And I remember we'd play with the basketball until you wore the grip off of it. I mean, until it was slick. And you get out there, especially when it was wet and if it didn't have any grip to it, that thing would just slide. We would play with the basketball until the seam would come out and the bladder would start coming sticking out. And you'd go to bounce and it'd be popping off to the right and to the left. I remember my bicycle. I had a Western Flyer. It was gold. It had monkey handlebars. Ooh, those things were something. And we learned how to make it sound like it had an engine. We could take baseball cards and a clothespin, and if you clip that card to the fender just right, that card would flip around and make it sound like you had an engine on your bike. I had a fishing pole that was very, very dear to me. I had a BB gun, and I had these things called Rock'em Sock'em Robots. Yeah, I love those things, my Rock'em Sock'em Robots. Then we had a sled. We had for the wintertime, we had an old-fashioned sled with the two rails on it. Boy, winter would come along, and we'd take soap or wax, and we'd wax those things down. Oh, my mom hated it. My dad would hook a rope up to the car and pulled us on the sled. My mom was fit to be tied. That's why me and my brothers all have flat heads. Dad would stop the car, and bang, so we'd stop too, but it very suddenly. And then there was one other that I remembered playing with when I was a kid. They came out with this thing called Creepy Crawlers. And it was kind of like a little device where you put some ingredients in, and there was like an oven where you could cook rubber bugs and eat them. And I thought eating bugs was just fantastic. But when I was growing up, toys have come a long way. Now, those of you that grew up as children in a generation before me, you know how much toys changed from yours to mine. But oh my, have they changed. I want you to get your Bible out, and we're going to look at some verses, some that are very obvious to you, some you know very well. Turn to the book of Proverbs, first of all. This is lesson number 15 on social issues. Lesson number 15, Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 6. Please turn there. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 6. The Bible says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Now, I'll come back to this and say this again later. I want to promise you something. The toys that our children play with are training them. They're training them. Now flip over to Proverbs 23, verse number 24. Proverbs 23, verse number 24. The Bible says, "The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begat the wise child shall have joy of him." Once again, God giving us a challenge about the training and the teaching of our children. God wants our children to be wise. Now go to Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 15. Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 15. The Bible says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." Look back at me, if you will, please. Parents, I'm a firm believer that kids should not pick out their toys, but parents should pick out the toys. Now, there's nothing wrong with a child picking out a toy if the parent is in full agreement with it. But we have to understand something. There are things that our children will request from us that they should not have. Parents make those decisions. But I've seen that develop. In these days, parents pretty well, if it's a toy, the kid can have it. I didn't grow up that way. My parents decided what I played with. And I can remember more than one time my mother saying, no, you're not going to have it. Number one, there were times when she said, no, you're not going to have it, because she said, you have so many toys now, you don't play with them. And so she was trying to protect me from being spoiled. There are other times when my mother said, you're not going to have that, that's not coming in our house. And then I tried to pull rank on her and said, but all the other kids have one. And my mother said, if all the other kids jump off a bridge, are you going to do it? Well, I had jumped off a few bridges that my mother knew nothing about, so I... But my mom and dad decided what I played with. I didn't decide. And they weren't trying to make me miserable, but they decided that. And here the Bible says a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Now, I think it could apply to this area. Our children are very important to us. And it is our responsibility, according to the Bible, to rear them, and we're to rear them for the Lord. Always get this. We're not rearing our children for ourselves. We're rearing them for the Lord. So you say, well, I'm good with this. It's not a matter of whether you're good with it. It's a matter of, is the one for whom you're rearing them good with it? We get possessive of our children. Your children were given to you by God. You're to rear them and give them back to him so he can use them in life. Jesus pronounces some very strong statements concerning our treatment of children. Take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 18, please. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse number 6. The Bible says, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that the offensive come. But woe to that man by whom the offense comes. That's pretty strong, speaking of children and how we behave. Now look at Matthew chapter 18, verse number 10. Verse number 10, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Now, we're not to offend the little ones. Now look at verse number 14 in the same chapter. Even so it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones shall perish. Now, look back at me, please. God tells us the way we treat the little ones and the way we handle the little ones is very, very big and it's very, very important. Now let me explain something. The Apostle Paul tells us in the Scripture that we should run or stay away from the works of the flesh. Now, this should definitely be a concern, then, of a parent that's rearing a child. You should not want your child to participate in the works of the flesh. You don't want them to have available to them things that would cause them to do the fleshly thing instead of the spiritual thing. Let's turn to one more passage of Scripture. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Find verse number 19. Galatians 5, verse 19. Once you find it, look back up this way at me. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 19. Let me insert something that I want to insert here. We're going to read the Scripture in a moment. When I arrived as pastor of the church here and we were trying to do some things with our nurseries, at one point we asked that some toys and some things be given to the nursery, but if you'll all remember, I picked what could be put in the nursery. And as those gifts were being given to the church for the nurseries, they came through the pastor so the pastor could decide if something were being put in the nursery that would not be good for the kids. Now, Every once in a while, somebody will drag something in here and put it in the nursery that I disapprove of. Nursery directors, I'm expecting you to help me keep an eye on it. There are some things that I don't want in that church nursery because I think they're toys that are not best for our young people. So nursery directors, you help me. You help me keep an eye on that. And folks, you may say, well, you're just a dictator. Well, I love the kids enough that somebody has got to make sure that what is being placed in the nursery is good for them, will cause them to be like Jesus and not mess them up. And so I guess so. If you want to call me a dictator, you can. But I am going to control what toys are played with in the nursery. And nursery directors, you got to keep an eye on it and make sure things are not slipping in there that should not be in there. Now, Galatians chapter 5, verse number 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, here it's talking about the works of the flesh. I want you to understand something. God is saying to us, stay away from these sort of things. So that means, parents, we should look at what's listed here. We should want to keep our kids away from these sort of things. These sort of things should not be our entertainments. These sort of things definitely should not be the kind of things that are entertaining our children or that our children are playing with. I think a child's toys should not promote the works of the flesh. You need to remember something. A child's mind is like a sponge, soaking up anything and everything that it sees and it hears. It doesn't take much. Some of you parents know exactly what I mean. Well, you can say something maybe that you shouldn't and just say it one time in the presence of a young child and they will mimic you at the worst of times. They'll say what mom said or they'll say what dad said and you're thinking, oh my goodness, I can't believe you remember that. Believe me, they remember. Children very often visualize themselves as cartoon characters and as toy figures. Y'all remember? They allow these characters to become their heroes and role models. Toys are very influential in a child's life. Okay, much like a man. What's a man's primary status symbol? Usually his car or his truck. His vehicle. That's his image. Well, children, their toys are their prized possessions. Have you not seen two of your children go to war over a toy? What? Guarding their prized possession. We'll fight over that. That's mine. They talk to their toys. Take the toys to bed with them. Drag toys all over the country. We're going to grandma's. Well, I want to take that toy. Well, you can't. Oh, well, we're in for a problem then. Toys are influential. Now, here's what I believe. I think the Bible's supposed to influence every part of our life. I know there are people here that think I'm too conservative. But I think we ought to let the Bible determine every part of our life. I think we ought to let the Bible determine what kind of toys we give to our infants. What kind of toys are given to our toddlers. Let the Bible determine what kind of toys are given to our children and to our teenagers and even to the big boys. Let the Bible determine that. Folks, toys teach. Toys teach. They don't just entertain. They teach. Children, and we've come a long way. Children used to play with sticks and rocks, cardboard boxes. I have spent hours in cardboard boxes. Not this week. But hours in cardboard boxes. Me and my brother, we had a real, real steep staircase back before Ocean, everybody got involved. You know, they don't build staircases as steep as what they used to. Boy, me and my brother, there were days we'd go get cardboard boxes out of trash bins and push each other like a sled down those staircases. I mean, it was great. See who could push each other the hardest. See who could hit the wall the hardest. We played and played with those cardboard boxes. We played with string and rope. I remember, do you all remember back when kids used to play in the leaves? You raked the leaves and you played in the leaves. Kids used to play in the snow. Kids used to play with their animals. Boy, we've come a long way. Many would say, what? That's boring. How can you play with the snow? Well, we could meet you out back and show you if you want. Please stick with me for a little while here. First of all, let me give you a little history of toys. You know, archaeologists have found that toy dolls and rattles, animal figures, soldiers and dishes, and dated way back. In the 18th century in England, toys really became industrialized. That time, they started having toy shows that traveled the countryside a bit like a circus. They'd have wagons, and they'd go around and pop the sides of the wagons open with toys, and the children would come around and gather around to the music. Soon, toy shops became established, little independent toy shops all over, and that's where now today they have toys, the toy stores like KB Toys and Toys R Us, etc. Now in America, even the American Indians had toys for their children. They had hoops and balls and toy dishes and carved wooden figurines and dolls and toy bow and arrows. During the French Revolution, children played with toy guillotines, beheaded dolls representing the aristocrats. You have to understand something. Toys reflect the society. Toys reflect society. Whatever happened to good old-fashioned toys? Blocks. Jacks. Marbles. Jump ropes. Yo-yos. Paddle balls. The slinky. Paddleball, slinky, Play-Doh, farm sets, pickup sticks, dominoes, doctor kits, nurse kits, harmonicas. And let me make something real clear. I'm for boys playing with toy guns. I grew up learning the importance of defending my country. And I'm talking about toy guns that teach a young man the importance of patriotism. So, you know, to defend a nation, I'm not talking about random slaughter of a bunch of victims. And there's a difference to me. Because a bunch of idiots want to act like fools doesn't mean that a boy shouldn't be able to play cowboy and Indians. What happened to tic-tac-toe and Lincoln logs and cars and trucks? What happened to the clean games? Tag. Red Rover. Send Bucky right over. Or hide and seek. We spent hours playing hide and seek. We used to, after church when I was a teenager, we used to play a game called Kick the Can. All you needed was an old can and a kicker. Ring around the rosy. Today we think you have to have money to have fun, and that is not true. That is not true. America was in better shape when her toys were a little simpler. Oh, but you have to understand once again, toys reflect a society. So, little history of toys. Secondly, toys are a reflection of our society. Toy makers want to make money. They will produce and market what sells. Now, what sells is determined by what the society is like. Now, the American society today is rude, lewd, immoral, violent, stingy. So her toys have corrupted with the society. The Hollywood stars are now turned into figurines. Why? So they can make money. Our music is a reflection of our society. Our clothing is a reflection of our society. Toys tell us what our children are being taught or what society wants to teach them. So just remember something. You look at the society, they'll produce toys in a reflection of what society is. Let me go on. Number three. Parents use toys as babysitters. Parents use toys as babysitters. We give a child or a toy so the child will occupy themselves. Now, that's not always bad. I don't think that's bad at all. I think that a parent, every mom here said, go play. And the child may ask why, and you say, well, it's better than being dead, son, now go play. So, but remember something, would you all agree, anybody here that's ever had children, we use toys as babysitters. They cause the child to occupy themselves. Now, I think this. I think there are some parents that spend no time with their children, and they're always telling their children to go play, and I think that is lazy parenthood. I think if a parent ought to be spending some time with the child, and they don't, they're always just sending their kids to their room to play, that's just a lazy parent. Let me ask you this, though. If we use toys like babysitters, who or what are you allowing to babysit your child? Again, if we use toys as babysitters, who or what then, in that toy, what does that toy represent? Who's watching your children? I think Harry Potter books or toys are witchcraft oriented. Would you let a witch babysit your child? Say never. Well, if we use toys to babysit our children, and we use something like that, then we're letting a witch babysit our child. Do this. Think through what influence you'll allow a babysitter to have over your children. Then just make sure if you're going to give your child a toy, you're going to leave your child alone with that toy. You're going to let that toy influence your child. You're going to let your child talk to that toy and take that toy to bed and play with that toy and defend that toy and love that toy. I'd want to make sure that toy was decent, clean, moral. Number four. Toys strongly develop a child's imagination. Toys strongly develop a child's imagination. And all of us can remember it. We can all remember the imagination that goes along with playing with the toys. Children role play with toys. They play mommy. They play daddy. Man, it's too bad they don't do a little bit more of that. I think it's a wonderful thing when a little girl wants to dress up like mama and she wants to drag all those pots and pans out and tinker and play. I think it's a wonderful thing when the boys want to get dad's tools out and fix the coffee table. I can say that. My kids don't fix the coffee table anymore. What kids used to want to be? Firemen. And mommies, and policemen, and armymen, and nurses, doctors. Now they want to be WWF wrestlers, and rock stars, gunslinging vigilantes thanks to the video games. What's happened to us? Be sure the toys you give your child are not developing their imaginations into an evil or a sinful way. They put themselves in with the toys. The toy becomes a part of their world, and they become a part of their toys' world. Now, you need to think through some of the stuff you give your kids. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 5 says this, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Here God said, cast down imagination. Don't let wrong imaginations be apart. Get that evil away from you. Psalm chapter 10, verse number 2 says, the wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. Listen to that. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. You know what? Your imagination is so strong. At first, you control it, but if you're not careful, it will take over and control you. You can be taken by what you have imagined. You say, well, I'm always fantasizing about this or that. You better shut her down if it's evil, because one of these days, your imagination will take you over. Do you want your child to imagine themselves being a rock star? If you want them to imagine that, you just keep giving them all the toys and the clothes and things that go along with the rock culture. Do you want your child to imagine themselves being a lawbreaker? You say, no, I don't want them to put themselves into that. I don't want that to develop their imagination. Then be careful what kind of toys you give them. This is what I've said thus far. First of all, we looked at a history of toys and looked at all the good toys of history. Secondly, I said toys are a reflection of our society. Thirdly, I said parents use toys like babysitters. Number four, toys strongly develop a child's imagination. And next, this is very obvious. I think toys should be educational. I think they are. I think a toy educates, a toy trains. Remember, the Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. So toys train our children. They train our children for good, or the wrong kinds of toys can train our children for bad. I think toys ought to, the little ones, I think they ought to get toys that train their motor skills. I think that's one reason why you take, for instance, you take blocks and then learning to stack blocks and how to build things with blocks. It helps them in coordinating it, and they need that. I think the little ones need the kind of toys that help them to learn to lace. Or, Mama, if you don't teach them how to lace, you're going to be lacing their shoes when they're 15. And I've seen some teenagers that somehow never did learn how to lace their shoes because they're never tied. They need to learn, their motor skills need to be developed with blocks and lacing and building and coordinating things and connecting things. That's all important. What? Toys? They're just not entertainment. They ought to train. I think toys ought to train us in regard to social skills. I think toys can train someone how to be kind. I think toys can train someone, I think, just the presence of toys. Every mama here teaches her children how to share with toys. We learn how to share a toy. I think toys can teach teamwork. And I think toys ought to teach teamwork. See, I think toys are very educational. I think they train us for good or for bad. They train our motor skills. They train our social skills. I think they train us mentally, our reading. I think that's a big part of it. Comparing and seeing differences and likes. I think our toys ought to train us for family living. Listen, folks, God knows the families in America, the marriages in America are in terrible shape. And again, you look at it, little boys and girls used to admire mom and dad, and they wanted to play mommy and daddy, and they wanted to have mock weddings and things like that. Now I think they have mock divorces. And the family's not what it used to be. The kids used to admire the family so much, they want to play house. Girls wanted to learn to be a good mom and a good wife, and boys wanted to be a good dad and a good husband. Toys used to teach citizenship. I grew up, and we played with little army men, and we always had a little American flag, and I was very proud to play with that. Very much so. They are outlawing those sort of things because they say they're violent. I don't think ever should our toys train children against the Bible or against good or against God. I think toys should train us physically. Young people need to get back to playing outdoors. Playing jump rope. Learn to ride a bicycle. Replacing the skin on their knees from roller skates. Boy, I'll tell you what. I've got scars all over my body from toys and playing. But believe me when I say, listen, if children can learn and if toys are educational, do you think, just reason with me for a moment, if something were powerful and influential, and if there were a tender, soft, pure mind, don't you think the devil knows about it? Do you think the devil said, you know what, let's just leave the children alone? There's no way. He starts winning them, influencing them, creating things as negative for them immediately in life. Let me say number six. Some people don't recognize this. You know, toys can be sinful. I mean, flat out sinful. Anything that is against Scripture can be sin, even a toy. I've already said this. I believe Harry Potter books, movies, and the whole batch, I think it's sinful. Why? You say, because of the witchcraft that's in it. 1 Samuel 15:23 says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Talked about Saul. Now listen to me. I believe that toys that have anything to do with witchcraft, I think they're wrong. I think they're sinful. I don't think a teenager ought to have a Ouija board. I think that's sinful. I don't think they ought to have tarot cards. I think it's sinful. And that's just scriptural. Galatians 5:20 says, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresy. We're just talking about the works of the flesh. I'm very sorry. I did not go to Walmart and look at the newest toys on the market. Or maybe I could have come over to your house. I didn't get a chance to do that. But let me mention some toys. I just think, in my opinion, I think scripturally, there are some toys that just are sinful. For instance, it's probably still not a toy that is popular or used anymore, but there was an action figure called Masters of the Universe. It was a toy figure, and it was marketed like a godlike figure. It had in both its cartoons and its toys many occult symbols and behaviors. Let me explain something to you. There is one master of the universe. And you say, ah, there you go, you right-wing, crazy conservative. You call me what you want. There is one master of the universe. And I'm telling you, the people in Toyland, they often know what they're doing. You better keep an eye on everything happening in America right now. They're trying to shut Christianity down. There's another toy. It's a doll called Bratz, B-R-A-T-Z. The American Psychology Association cites that Bratz dolls as one of the most cultural influences that contributes to the sexualization of little girls. Bratz marketers target little girls, and this isn't something I conjured up. This comes from a study. They target girls from 7 to 12 years old. And what they're saying is they're trying to teach 7 to 12-year-olds to be sexually active and to flaunt their bodies. I hope I can get this right. In 2001, Bratz sold their doll with inappropriate underclothing for a little girl. T-H-O-N-G is the word. Can you imagine them dressing a little girl's doll like that for a 7-year-old to play with? In Britain, Bratz is now outselling Barbie. One toy watchdog group called Bratz hookers in training toys, or prostitutes in training toys. The dolls of today are not like the dolls of America's moral generation. Cabbage Pail Kids were a craze in America. Filthy. Filthy. Nothing like Raggedy Ann and Andy. You better watch the toys that, with all the rock music and lyrics that go along with it. A lot of toys out there. You know, when we're buying toys for our granddaughter and it has music to it, we always check the music. What? Just for a little one. Rock music's bad for 2-year-olds and 20-year-olds and 200-year-olds. The rock and rap music is through the culture. It's not scriptural. You're indoctrinating them into worldliness. Hannah Montana is a rock and roller. Now, how in the world you could have her toys, her CDs, her clothing, and it be God-honoring, I don't know. How can that be so? At Martinsburg Christian Academy, and I'm glad the previous pastor had the good sense to do this sort of a thing. They didn't allow Hollywood characters on lunch boxes and jackets and things like that, and thank God for it. We have to fight the war every year. We've got to say, no, we're not bringing that to the school. This is a Christian school. We're not going to do that here. Listen to this. This is a game. It's not out. Maybe it's popular still. I should ask somebody. Christian Life Ministries have concluded that Dungeons and Dragons is not really a game. Instead, they claim it is a teaching of demonology, witchcraft, voodoo, murder, and I'm reading from right off the internet, rape, blasphemy, suicide, assassination, insanity, sex, perversion, homosexuality, prostitution, Satan worship, gambling, barbarianism, cannibalism, and divination. That was one of the hottest video games out. I think that's a video game, right? Dungeons and Dragons. A new doll, get this. A new doll out for children is called the Pole Dancer, teaching little girls how to pole dance. That's perverted. That is perverted. Listen, books. Just because a book is a children's book doesn't make it 100% okay. We just think, oh, it's so cute, it's got a figure of a bunny on it. You might want to see what's on the inside. You might want to see what they're saying and what they're teaching. I remember one day we had purchased for our kids, I think it was Popeye. We just thought it was fantastic. Kids brought it back and said, he's smoking a pipe. That's bad. And it is. Now let me take just a moment and talk to you about video games. This is out of control in America. It's out of control in America. Let me say, some of you parents, you sit in the same row with your kids and they play video games while I'm preaching. That's disrespectful. And if you're an adult that's doing it, you're an immature person. The video games. Let me give you some statistics. So here's some statistics about violence in the video games of our day. Boys age 8 to 18 surveyed in a research spent 40 minutes a day playing computer video games. The number of violent interactions in a 10-minute play period ranged from 2 to 124. 10 minutes, the possibility of 124 violent interactions. Let me explain that to you. Get your kids started on that kind of stuff soon enough. They'll be yanking away from you and throwing themselves around the house and punching holes in the walls, throwing their fists, and demonstrating their violence. Well, why not? That's how they play. Boys who play teen or mature-rated games for a minimum of 40 minutes a day may witness over 180 incidents of aggression per day or 54 incidents per month. In 98% of the games surveyed, aggression went unpunished. In fact, in more than half the video games, the perpetrators were rewarded for their aggressive actions. The basic prototype for aggression in mature-rated video games involves human perpetrators who engage in repeated acts of justified violence involving weapons. Let me tell you something. Do you know, you say, well, this is a problem among teenagers. No, this is a problem between people between the ages of 20 and 40. And may I qualify it from a pulpit standpoint, there will be men that will beat their wives because of the violent nature that they have developed because of the toys that they play with as adult men. 78% of all violent interactions in the first 10 minutes of a game play feature lethal violence. And almost a quarter of the violent interaction games, players perceive themselves as stalkers. 78% of the violent action was shown up close. Almost half of all violent video game segments feature humor, where they're laughing about what's happening. Only 10% of all video game perpetrators possess good or pro-social qualities. In other words, they're saying, this is a secular institution that did the study, they say 90% of what goes on in those things are not social. They're not what we want for normal social behavior. Now let me make sure I tell you something. I don't think that every video game is bad. I don't think that every video game is sinful, but I do think moms and dads ought to know what their kids are doing. Say, how do I decide whether they ought to be doing it or playing it? Just take this black book out, decide what it says, compare it to the toy. You say, well, I don't think you ought to be doing that. Say, well, mom, my child will not hear of it. Since when do kids tell mom and dad what to do?
Yeah.
And that's somebody whose child is five.
Yeah.
You just wait. Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold, these were the men that were responsible for the Columbine massacre. It was proven that Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold enjoyed playing violent video games, and they speculate that these games played a role in their violent acts at Columbine High School in Littleton, Colorado on April of 1999. Those of you that have never heard of it, you ought to go and get some footage and find out what happened. Boys walked into their public school in black trench coats with rifles and pistols and started blowing people away. I think nearly 30 people died. Eric Harris had actually modified a version of the game Doom and placed it on his own website. In his version, there were two shooters, extra weapons, and the other people in the game could not shoot back. He and Klebold essentially acted out their version of Doom on innocent classmates that died. A new study connected with young adults' use of video games to them having poorer relationships with their family and friends. See, video games reduce time, love, and interaction between players and their family members. There are people, even under the sound of my voice right now, they get no time with mom and no time with dad because they're so busy playing a game. The research is based on information collected from nearly 1,000 college students around the country. As the amount of time playing a video game went up, the quality of their relationships with peers and parents went down. There's a thing they actually call it video game addiction, gamers to the point of addiction. According to a recent study of 1,178 children in the United States, almost 9% of the child gamers are pathologically or clinically addicted to playing video games. However, 23% of youth say that they have felt addicted to video games, which about one-third of males and a little more than one-tenth of females reporting the sensation of addiction, according to a survey by Harris Interactive Company. 44% of the youth, 8 to 18, also reported their friends are addicted to video games. According to the survey, the average child, 8 to 12, plays 13 hours of video games per week, while teenagers, aged 13 to 18 years, play 14 hours of video games per week, again, according to the survey. What child, after the excitement of 14 hours of video games each week, doesn't get bored when faced with time with grandma? How exciting can it be spending time with grandma and grandpa when we've been busy murdering and hacking people to shreds and racing through life at an outrageous rate of speed? Just ask yourself, your child who is an addicted gamer, what's their relationship with grandma and grandpa? The music in most all video games is rock and roll and rap. Many of your new video games, they promote crime, Grand Theft Auto, very, very popular, Resident Evil, promoting murder, jailbreaks, illegal use of motor vehicles. Now, we had a video game at our house. It is so quiet in here. Somebody needs to say amen. Bunch of pansies. My kids used to have a video game. I loved it. It was called Tetris. Any of you ever played Tetris? Oh, that's that. I wish the word cool was right because I'd use it right here. I love that thing. It was challenging. I don't think all video games are bad. I'm not said that. But if you're under conviction or if you're mad, I'm telling you about the stuff that is bad.
Yeah.
Now, if you're being bothered that I'm telling you about the stuff that is bad, that means you're probably associated with it or doing it or allowing it. Now, I think there's probably some fun and fabulous and entertaining and clean and decent stuff out there. Is that what your child's specializing in? Let's just take the waste of time due to video games. If my children were living in my home and they were failing their classes at Martinsburg Christian Academy, they would not be playing video games. As a parent, I require them to study. I didn't require them to get a better grade than what they could, but I required them to do the best that they could. So they didn't spend 2 hours a night playing a video game and 10 minutes a night on their spelling words. All sorts of video gamers that don't read their Bible. I wonder if reality, I wonder if we could do it. I wonder if we could put you through an x-ray machine and it would calculate the number of hours you spent on a video game and the number of hours you've spent reading your Bible. I wonder what we would find out. I wonder how many home chores are not done because we're so busy playing a video game. You know what's really neat about this? Some of the teenagers are squirming, but there are more men between 20 and 40 squirming than there are teenagers. Because you came up in a generation where that was your baseball and that was your jump rope. How about the lack of exercise? Boys used to play ball. Now they watch a figurine play ball, and the most they do is move their wrist. We have the most powerful wrists in the universe in America. Girls used to play jump rope and ride bike. Just so you know, folks, the video games are full of nudity. Some of those female figures are wrapped so tight, you see every part of them. If your daughter tried to dress like that and go out in public, you would say, yeah, dress like a whore, but you let her play with a whore every day, all day long. The witchcraft is amazing that's in the video games. And just, if nothing else, some of the lack of reality. Let me explain something to you, young people. Look right at me. If you shoot somebody, they die. They don't get back up. You race a car at 200 miles an hour, you hit a wall, you die. You abuse a police officer, you go to prison. It's no game. Toys. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. I think the Bible should guide every part of our life. Every part. You say, well, you're just trying to take away our fun. If sin is fun, then you are correct. There is so much fun you can have in life without sinning. Don't you let the devil sell you a wooden nickel. It's more fun not to sin. Much more. Much more. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Probably it's wise that we look at the toy boxes, and we make the decisions as parents. Spiritual decisions. And children, you ought to thank God if mom and dad say, that's not good, that's not right. We're not going to have that. Hey, and parents, I don't think we ought to take all our children's toys away. I think we ought to get things that they can play with and have a good time, enjoy themselves. I want them to enjoy themselves. I want them to play. But we ought to do it God's way. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Those of you that are not parents yet, I hope that you'll give consideration to what's been said this evening. Those of you that are, wouldn't try to hurt you or embarrass you in the presence of your children at all. Young people, if you have a mom and dad that teach you strongly about what you play with and who you play with and how you play, I thank God for it. There are some young people, your dad or mom may not step up and tell you you're not going to play this or play that. You ought to love Jesus enough that you tell yourself you're not going to play it. And some of you, you'll fight your mom and dad over things that they have said to you. That's sinful. We're not going to do that. Well, you've got the wrong attitude, young person. Yeah, thank God you got a mom and dad that love you enough to tell you the truth. If you're here tonight, you've never trusted Christ, I welcome you to the Savior. If you're here tonight, so there are some of you, maybe your grandparents, you say, I need to pray for my grandkids. They're in a tough situation. Maybe you need the altar for a moment. Maybe somebody needs to come and pray and say, I need to pray. I'm going to have to make some decisions in my household to get some things where they ought to be. Maybe you need to come down here and pray about it. Maybe there's some young people or some children. Parents, you may go home and find a child. Say, you know what, Mama, I don't think this toy right here, I think that's a sinful toy. Well, let them get rid of it and praise them for it. Thank God for it. Children have pure minds if we wouldn't corrupt them. I'm going to ask the instrumentalist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads bowed and eyes open. I truly wish I would have had time to go examine all the toys on the shelves out there and bring back to you any more current toys that would be harmful to our children, to their minds, to their morality, to their future, to their character, to their integrity. But you don't have to be a real good Christian to figure it out. Your grandparents, when you give your grandchildren toys, give them toys that God would be pleased with. Children, when you ask for something of Mom and Dad, ask for things that God would be pleased with. The sodomite culture in America, they have now mimicked dolls. You know, they had Barbie and Ken. They now have dolls that are paired to men, to women. Why? Toys reflect society, the culture. This is the last time you hear this song. Thank you. You can have a seat there if you will.